My sermon title this morning is, If You Had Been There. When I was 19, I had a serious car accident. It was not my fault. I was driving at the speed limit. I was obeying the traffic laws. I was not doing anything I shouldn't have been doing. But another car, leaving a bar, pulled out of the parking lot and onto the highway right in front of me. There was no time to stop. My car struck that car. The driver was killed and her two passengers badly injured. At first I was in shock and then I was devastated. It was made worse by seeing the reaction of the young woman's parents when they came into the emergency room where all of us who were involved had been taken for treatment. I watched from the other side of the room as they were told that their daughter was dead. I will never forget that moment, their expressions of anguish and desperation. For a long time after that, I tried to think of what I could have done differently. I just couldn't figure it out, why this had happened. After finding out more of the story of what had caused her to pull out in front of my car, I could come up with a list of things that the young woman who was killed could have done differently. Not driving drunk, not running out of the bar without paying her bill so that she and her sister and cousin were not only impaired, but in a hurry, not trying to drive straight across a divided four-lane highway in an attempt to make a left turn when such a thing wasn't even possible. I could make a list of things for her, things she could have, should have done differently. But as for me, what could I have done differently? I checked myself from every direction. Like many 19-year-olds, sometimes I did drive faster than the speed limit, but I wasn't driving fast that night. I was in a kind of mellow mood and not in much of a hurry. I had the radio on, but I wasn't playing with it, moving the dial from one station to the next. And that was in the age before cell phones, so I wasn't on the phone. I wasn't playing music through it. I wasn't texting. Those possible distractions didn't even exist. The only thing I could come up with was the timing. If I had left my then girlfriend's house to drive home a few minutes earlier or a few minutes later, it wouldn't have happened, right? All I could come up with was the matter of timing. If only I had started out earlier or waited until later, if only I hadn't been right there, right at that moment. You can correct me on that. You can say, oh, Kurt, that's not the way things work. You can't ever have perfect timing. You move through life and things happen when they happen. You can be careful. You can pay attention. You can watch out. You can listen to the weather report and check the Dow Jones averages and calculate how many minutes it takes you to travel so many miles in order to make sure you leave in time so you get there in time. You can wait attentively for the opening in the conversation or the conflict that you're in, the opening that may eventually come. You can try to do all of that, but all of that won't make the timing perfect. It doesn't guarantee a thing. You could tell me, Kurt, things happen, and sometimes those things happen before you know it. And sometimes things happen no matter how hard you try to control the moment. Things happen. You had no way of knowing that your life would collide with those three young women's decisions that night. No way of knowing. And you can't go through life hoping for, trying for, reaching for perfect timing, or even trying for timing that is good enough to avoid the next accident. You could say all that to me, and I would appreciate your kindness, your gentle rebuke, but honestly, I would still wonder. What if I had left on my trip home a little bit sooner or a little bit later? I know such wondering will never change what happened, but sometimes it still feels like timing is everything. These days especially, it feels like timing is everything. If our government leaders had responded more quickly when news of the outbreak first started showing up a half a world away, or even on our own shores, if somehow I can be sure that I don't touch the wrong doorknob at the wrong moment and then unthinkingly touch my face, if we could be certain that 2 weeks of separation could be enough to shut the virus down, 2 weeks, a magic number that probably isn't enough, because the exact moment of when someone gets the virus and then passes it to someone else isn't something we can see, and therefore, knowing the timing of exposure, we can start the clock running on carefulness. But it sure feels like timing is everything these days. even as the right timing eludes us. Wait too long to, quote unquote, get back to normal and the economic consequences could overwhelm us. Or don't wait long enough and the disease's dire consequences could overwhelm us. And what's the window of waiting? Cancel or postpone things now, okay. But what about things in May or June or September? It's hard, almost impossible even, to think very far ahead when everything seems to be changing moment by moment. But that doesn't stop us from trying to make sure we get the timing right. What if I had left that evening just a little bit earlier or just a little bit later? Would a life have been spared? In the scripture for this morning, it seems as well that timing is everything. Jesus gets a message that his dear friend Lazarus is gravely ill. Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, who are also dear friends of his. Instead of going right away to attend to his friends, Jesus delays. He loves his three friends, but he waits a couple of days to go. At the beginning of the story, it seems clear that Jesus knows it's a critical situation, but he doesn't seem to think it's really life-threatening. And his disciples, frankly, aren't in a hurry to go there either. Since the last time he was there, Jesus was threatened by people who wanted to stone him to death. But just a few days later, something has changed. Even from a distance, Jesus knows somehow that Lazarus is dead. So Jesus goes then to Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but by the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Jesus is too late. That's what Martha tells him, and that's what Mary tells him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They believe in Jesus' power of healing. That's what they're talking about. If Jesus had better timing, their brother could have been saved. But now it's too late. It's just too late. As he enters the village, Jesus meets Martha first. He talks to her about resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who believes in me will never die. He asks her if she believes this. She's already said that she believes in the resurrection on the last day, but what about resurrection now? That's a harder thing to believe. Now seems too soon, even as it's too late. The timing's not right. She believes in Jesus as the Messiah, but now? Resurrection now? When Jesus meets Mary next, Mary's encounter with him is less theological and more emotional, I suppose. She kneels at his feet to express her sadness, her disappointment. It feels a bit like a reprise of her earlier kneeling to wipe his feet with her hair after she anointed him with a jar of costly perfume. But this time, it feels less like love and more like disappointment or grief. She too says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she says those words through tears. She weeps. Jesus could tell her the resurrection news as well. He already told Martha, after all, about his resurrection promise. But that's not what he does with Mary. What he does with Mary is this. He responds to her tears with his tears. You know the verse. Jesus began to weep, or the more familiar translation, Jesus wept. When I read that part of the story, it helps me that when Mary questions his timing, Jesus doesn't say, Mary, Mary, timing doesn't matter. Or, Mary, Mary, trust me, God's timing is always perfect. No. Even though resurrection is just around the corner in this story, what Jesus does when Mary sobs, you should have come sooner, if you had, this wouldn't have happened, is that he matches her tears with tears of his own. Because the truth is, we know that timing does matter. At some level, even with resurrection just around the corner, she is right. If he had been there sooner, this wouldn't have happened. So she knows and we know that timing does matter. But timing isn't everything. Sometimes what matters more than timing is what is in your heart. What matters more than perfect timing is deep empathy. What matters more than leaving a little sooner or leaving a little later is knowing that whenever you arrive or whenever you touch your life against someone else's life, it's what's in your heart. It's the grace and mercy and compassion that's in your heart. It's the willingness to match their tears with your tears that matters. We, the church, are the body of Christ. We don't have in our hands the power of physical resurrection like Jesus did. We can't roll away the stone and go into the tomb and call out, "Lazarus, come out," and have the already dead for 4 days body stand up and come out. We are the body of Christ in the world today, now, but we are not Jesus standing there at the tomb in Bethany. We are not that Jesus, but we are this. We are a Christ presence in this world, a Christ presence that cares and attends and recognizes and feels and laughs with those who laugh and weeps with those who weep, a Christ presence who shows up, maybe not in perfect timing, but with a complete and wholehearted empathy. We can be that Christ presence in this world. And quite frankly, that kind of presence, that kind of empathetic, compassionate presence can provide a kind of resurrection. When the person who is grieving knows that others are grieving with them, it can bring them back to life. When the person who is scared knows that others understand their fear and will stand beside them with courage and not criticism, that can bring them back to life. When the person who is hungry or alone or ill or desperate knows that there are resources and generosity and intentional accompaniment available, that can bring them back to life. You understand, don't you, that in the scripture story, Lazarus is not the only one who is resurrected, who is restored. Martha's hope is resurrected. Mary's heart is resurrected. Everyone else who sees what happens, who is met by Jesus' presence and power, has their faith resurrected. A couple of months ago, when I was choosing a title and a direction for this sermon, I wrote, "How often does it feel like timing is the key to everything? If only the diagnosis had come sooner, if only I had reached the intersection a moment sooner or a moment later, if only someone had been paying attention when they were supposed to or when they said they would, if only." In the Lazarus story, it seems early on that Jesus is ignoring the need for immediate response, defining the timing of his response and care as something that matters only to the degree that God's glory will be eventually realized. But then when he finally arrives after Lazarus has died, the grief of Mary and Martha disturbs him and moves him deeply. In the story, the resurrection miracle matters, but perhaps it is his empathy that touches us even more. Of course, I had no idea that we'd be in this timing is everything period, adjusting to everything moment by moment, trying to figure out what to do and what not to do at exactly the right moment. That part I didn't know. I couldn't have known how much we would be focusing on the timing of things these days. Like you, I didn't know. But the part I did know, even then, the timeless part, is that last sentence I wrote those couple of months ago. In the story, the resurrection miracle matters, but perhaps it is Jesus' empathy that touches us even more. Compassion is timeless. Empathy is timeless. You already know that, but don't forget it. Sharing tears is just as important as sharing truth. Let that be your guide in these days. Sure, try with every ounce of your being to do the right thing in the right timing, but also rest in the grace of knowing that even if you had left a little earlier or a little later, you couldn't have changed the present course of things. None of us has perfect foresight, perfect timing. What you could do, what you can do, is be the Christ presence right now, no matter what, no matter when. You can pay attention to the feelings of others, weep when they weep, reach out in whatever timing you can, not waiting for the perfect moment or trying to be the perfect person, but doing whatever kind or compassionate thing you can do whenever the moment of opportunity offers itself. We are the body of Christ when we are the Christ presence in this world, and that much we can do right now. God takes care of the miracles. God takes care of the resurrection. We can offer our presence, our compassion, our empathy in every moment. Amen.